I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the Stuniverse.
We're all back. 2016.
We're all back. All two of us.
Everyone's in.
It's a full house. Hold on. I'll take the register. Stu.
Yes.
Mark. Yes. Okay.
That's good. We'll do it again at the end, see if anyone's bunked off.
What's big for 2016?
What's big for 2016? So we have a mission launching to Mars, Europe's ExoMars spacecraft that will launch in March. And that's really good. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, in subsequent episodes as we get nearer to the launch, because that's going to try to unlock some mysterious atmospheric signals that have been seen on Mars, which could mean that there's microbial life there.
Ooh.
Big stuff.
So where's that flying off from?
It's going from Baikonur. It's going from Russia. They're providing the launch vehicle for this one.
Ooh.
It's a joint European and Russian mission because the Americans pulled out in 2008 because they were strapped for cash.
Right. Are there lots of kind of collaborations between...
More and more these days because it's just so expensive to do this... The more they collaborate and the more the different countries work together, just the better it is.
So is it going to visit the atmosphere of Mars?
It's going to orbit, and it's got sensors and instruments on there, so it'll be looking downwards. And specifically, it's going to try and find methane. It's going to try and look for methane.
Right.
So,
and is that because of microbes farting?
I don't think technically they can. But it is to do with their metabolism, yes.
Right.
We should get a biologist to clarify that.
Yeah, let's get a biologist. If you're a biologist and you know about microbes farting, give us a ring.
That is where most of the, not microbes, but cows, apparently. That's where a large fraction of the methane in Earth's atmosphere comes from.
So what's this joint mission called?
ExoMars. And this is the Trace Gas Orbiter. And then in 2 years' time, it will be followed by the second ExoMars mission, which is a rover. So we'll land on the surface and go exploring the surface of Mars.
ExoMars.
ExoMars. I know, it's good, isn't it?
That's really exciting.
Yeah, so that's the beginning of one mission. One other thing that's happening in 2016 is the end of a mission, the Rosetta mission to the comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko.
I remember her very well.
You remember?
How could I forget?
You still haven't said it, though.
No, and I think the chances of me saying it are quite slim. Go on, talk me through it. A cherry.
Not cherry, no.
Cherry cola. Come on.
Churyumov.
Churyumov-Gerasimenko.
Look at that. Like,
yes.
An expert.
I've forgotten it. Churyumov-Gerasimenko.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Superb. The Rosetta mission is coming to an end. And in September or thereabouts, they will actually try to land the spacecraft on the comet. So depending on who you believe, it's either a landing or a controlled crash.
One goes up, another comes down.
Some kind of conservation law right there.
Yeah. How's Tim Peake?
Tim Peake is very excited. He's a bit sad about David Bowie.
Oh.
He tweeted about that. But he's very excited because on Friday the 15th, he gets to do a spacewalk.
Wow.
Now, this is the one thing that he said before he launched, that if he got the chance, he would really love to do. And it's coming up pretty quickly.
Why has it come up so quickly?
Well, there's a piece of kit that they call a solar shunt unit, and it helps...
I saw one of those in the innovations catalogue.
In Maplin's,
yeah.
Down the road. Yeah. And it guides power from the solar panels to the space station, and that needs replacing. So it's worn out, so he's got to go out and do that. And then he's going to do some cable laying, because while he's out there, he might as well do something useful.
It's like he's on a YTS scheme.
But it does sound a bit like that.
How long will he be out there for?
He's going to be out there for hours. I mean, many hours, most of Friday. It's like an office day, but out in space. It takes a couple of hours just to get into the spacesuit.
Really?
Yeah. You think trying to get, skinny jeans on is difficult. I mean, that's nothing compared to trying to get into a spacesuit. Oh, don't put yourself down. And
a couple of hours just to get in the suit.
Yeah, a couple of hours to get in the suit and make sure everything is airtight and what have you, because that's what you want. And then I love this. Then they spend a couple of hours breathing pure oxygen. I think that's just to jack them up to.
I was going
to
say, be off your face, wouldn't you?
So they can really enjoy it out there.
How you doing, Tim? Still seeing the unicorn?
One thing that they do, and this is pretty cool. His long experience has told NASA that it is useless to expect an astronaut to do anything but gibber in a kind of awestruck way when they first get out into space and see the Earth.
Gibber.
So they kind of build in some time for the astronaut to just realize that they're looking, there's nothing between them and space and the Earth below but a sheet of glass in their helmet. And so they have some sort of awe time that they can just actually sort of float there and think, wow, I'm really here. And this looks pretty cool.
Are they kind of hooked? Can we listen to what they're saying?
They are saying that they're going to live stream it. So perhaps this will be the first time we'll hear an astronaut swear from orbit.
Here's a question.
Okay.
A couple of people have asked me this, and I wasn't going to ask it, but the opportunity has arisen.
Okay.
What happens if he needs a wee?
Oh, isn't this amazing? This is always the question that comes up. Spacesuits are equipped with nappies.
No.
Yes.
How did they poo?
Well, just like a normal human being.
Yeah, but how does the kind of lack of gravity play a part in
that? This you're driving at the zero G toilet, aren't you?
A little bit,
yeah.
And I'm not alone in that. I know I'm not alone in that.
No, you're not. It's pretty much one of the things that always comes up
or comes out.
Oh.
So, the news is full of talk of gravitational waves.
The news is full of talk about gravitational waves, isn't it? Yes.
No. Why? Why?
Well, this is something that's come up a little bit on the podcast before, with the launch of the LISA Pathfinder mission to test technology to eventually detect these things from space.
And the two bars of metal.
Yes.
Going wibble wobble.
There are also detectors on Earth. And they see slightly different wavelengths of gravitational waves than the ones that we'd build in space. The excitement is that there's been a rumor since November, I heard it first, that the American instrument may have seen something.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear these things every now and again, and there's a big long analysis that they have to go through, because these detections are incredibly difficult to make. Mm-hmm. And there's all sorts of noise that can fool you into thinking that you've seen something. it seems to have just suddenly taken off today in the news because an American physicist and author called Lawrence Krauss tweeted about it and said, oh, I've had these rumors confirmed. They may have seen something. So I'm thinking he's had the fact that there's a rumor confirmed, not the rumor has been confirmed into fact. Importantly, however, every now and again in the past, the management teams have injected false signals into the data stream to see if the analysis software and the science teams spot them.
Yeah,
it's just sort of tests to see if everything is working as it should do. And partly this is because the scientists involved in these detectors have been working on them for many decades now. And so the culture has always been that whatever you see on one of these detectors is just random noise. And yet now we're starting to get to the sensitivity where these gravitational waves might truly be seen. And so the whole mindset of that scientific community has to change from one that you will never see anything and that we need to keep improving the equipment to we might now start to see things. And so these blind injections get put in to sort of keep them on their toes and to see if everything is working as it should do. So it could be, even if they've seen something, it could be one of these. And what happens is they do the analysis, they even write the discovery papers and get everything ready for the big publication and the announcement. And then they gather at a conference to decide exactly how to make the announcement, where to publish the papers. And the management tell them whether it's a blind injection or not, a real signal. So they've gone through this process several times now. They've rehearsed what they would do and how they would analyze and how they would announce. So it could be one of those. Now, interestingly, Lawrence Krauss then tweeted that he was told it wasn't a blind injection. It's not very clear to me how he can possibly know that. But who knows? We wait to see. It's certainly true, as we've spoken about before, that these gravitational waves are on the cusp of discovery and that they really will be a whole new way of investigating the universe, the final big prediction verified from Einstein's general relativity. So it's a really exciting time. And again, that's why I think people are very anxious to jump on any idea that something has finally been seen.
Of course.
You know, the trouble is, unknown things, these particles, yeah, they don't come out wearing little T-shirts with I'm a so-and-so and, you know, whatever their name is on them. You have to almost infer their presence. You have to dig it out of all the other random noise and all the other things that you're seeing. And so these gravitational wave detectors, the actual gravitational wave itself causes a disturbance that is a fraction of the width of an atom.
That's one of those crazy...
It's utterly
mind-blowing. Can't get your head around it things, yeah.
A bird flying by the building has the potential to disturb the equipment more than the actual signal that you're trying to detect.
I've never trusted birds.
They're shockers.
They know what they're doing.
Alfred Hitchcock was right
all
those years ago, and we haven't learned.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Can I ask you a quick listener question?
Please do.
I say listener, it's my daughter. Although she does listen. She does listen. And, oh, yes, I know what we've got coming up. Not in this episode, but in another episode soon. Mm-hmm. We've got a special edition of Big Fat Galactic Liar with the questions posed by a 9-year-old.
Fantastic.
And not even one of my children.
Wouldn't that be really embarrassing if I got that wrong?
Yeah. So my daughter Betty would like to know, if a quite large meteor, that's how she worded it.
Good, I'm glad we're being technically accurate.
If a quite large meteor hit New Zealand, would we be affected in England?
Yes, we could be. We most definitely could be. And there are a number of ways that this could happen. So the first is that, I mean, if it truly is large enough and it hits with such a wallop, then the seismic waves will travel through the Earth and around the Earth. So we could feel it. The other way is that it will throw up so much material, dust, into the atmosphere that that will just be spread by the wind patterns around the globe. Mm. And if it's really large enough, then it can cause sort of the equivalent of a nuclear winter. So this was the idea that if you had a nuclear war, it would all those detonations would put enough dust up into the atmosphere that it would block the sun out, and you'd have this prolonged, artificial winter. Well, the same can happen with asteroid strikes, and that might be one of the things that helped to kill off the dinosaurs as well. When the great big asteroid hit the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico 65 million years ago, it created a nuclear winter that sort of lowered the temperature of the Earth, and that put paid to the dinosaurs.
They couldn't hack it.
No.
How large would a meteor have to be to cause that much damage?
So to do something like that, you would need a meteor that is a number of kilometres in diameter, preferably tens of kilometres in diameter. And the good news is that we're pretty certain, I mean, we're quite confident, really, that there's nothing hazardous out there larger than about 10 kilometres. And the search programmes around the world are currently sort of working their way down to the kilometre-sized objects. And we're seeing nothing of that sort of dinosaur killer, civilization-threatening size that's out there at the moment.
So sleep well tonight, listeners. It's time for Big Fat Galactic Liar quiz number 4.
Fourth podcast, so fourth Big Fat Galactic Liar.
It would be, wouldn't it? The score is so far 1 to you, 2 to me, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that has got to change.
Let's see. Stu, hit me.
Big Fat Galactic Liar, fact number 1. NASA has been criticised for sending obscene pictures into space. I can't believe you just laughed like that at the mention of obscene pictures.
This is great. Space smut.
Space smut. Number two, a gramophone record is the furthest artificial object from Earth.
Right, I'm just decoding that in my head. So there is somewhere out in space a gramophone record that is the furthest away artificially made thing that doesn't occur naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Big fat galactic liar. Fact number three. NASA used a tiny artificial valve developed for heart transplants in the design of their space shuttle rocket engines.
Ooh, okay. I'm still giggling about number one. Oh, Mark, will you always giggle at the idea of obscene pictures? Yes, I imagine you will. By the way, for any children listening, when Uncle Dr. Professor Stew says there's obscene pictures, it just means naughty ones. That's all you need to know. Naughty mummy daddy ones.
Oh, I'm glad that's clarifying.
Yes. Naughty mummy daddy pictures. You know, like a picture of mummy and daddy stealing something from a shop or laughing at someone with a broken leg. Okay.
Back on topic.
So, fact number one, NASA have been criticised for sending obscene pictures into space. Fact number two is the gramophone record is the furthest artificial object in space, the furthest away from the Earth. And fact number three is NASA used a tiny little valve used in heart transplants.
That's correct.
In the design of their rocket. Right. I have no clue at all. I have no idea which is true. I desperately want them all to be true because I like all of them. Now, so what I'm using at the moment, this is my way of, my means of deduction. The third one about the heart valve, you look like you were reading that. Now, I can't see your papers, but it did look like you were reading, but then, of course, you could have written it down yourself. I'm going to say number three is the lie, because it's the most sensible sounding one to me. It doesn't make any sense at all. My reasoning's rubbish, let's face it. There's no logic at play here. But I want the other two to be true. I want the smutty pictures one to be true. And I want the gramophone floating around in space looking for a record player to be true. Stu?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, number three is false.
You're correct.
No way! No!
Oh, look at this. He's in. Oh, God, he's in lap of honour now.
Oh. This is what my son does when he scores a goal. Oh, wow. Oh, what? No way!
That's true.
How am I doing this?
How are you doing it? Yes.
little flash of anger there. So talk me through them. So tell me about the smutty pictures.
Yes.
Sorry, naughty pictures. Naughty pictures.
Obscene pictures. In the 1970s, NASA launched.
Oh, I should have known.
Well, yeah. Straight out of the 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah. They launched two spacecraft called Pioneer 10 and 11. And they were to survey the outer solar system, and they were never going to return. In fact, the gravity of the large planets Jupiter and Saturn were going to give these spacecraft so much energy that they were going to be slung out of the solar system.
Right.
So that even now, they are traveling towards the stars. And Carl Sagan, a famous astronomer and planetary scientist, he organized for special plaques to be placed on the spacecraft. And these plaques had diagrams on them showing which planet the spacecraft had come from and showing a diagrammatic representation of the spacecraft and two human figures next to it to show the size of the beings that created the spacecraft. And those beings, a man and a woman, were drawn nude.
Disgusting.
That's what a lot of people thought. And so NASA were heavily criticized for sending obscene pictures into space. That true fact relates a little bit to the second one.
Right.
Because the next set of deep space probes, they decided instead of just putting plaques on them this time, they would actually put records on them, gold records that could be played by whatever alien civilization picks these things up. And they're full of the sounds of Earth. They are not on any, there's not any representation of the human figures on them.
Seems a shame.
I know. Should have stuck to their guns, really. But the, do you want to hear the music that that they put on them? Some of the examples of the music that they put on these records?
Yeah, go on.
Bach,
mm-hmm.
Mozart,
mm-hmm.
and Chuck Berry.
Well, obviously.
Obviously. They go together.
The Holy Trinity.
Yeah. Listen to those three. That's all you need to know about music.
Welcome to Earth.
They wanted, how's this for a pun? They wanted to put Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles on there. But EMI apparently wouldn't let them because it was...
Scoundrels.
Something about being impossible to collect royalties from Alpha Centauri or something like that. So.
Did you make that last bit up?
No, I didn't actually. There was a copyright issue that meant they couldn't put that on. I should have put that down as the big fat galactic liar.
Oh, well. Yeah, well, I'll have forgotten my next one.
Oh, well, I'll do it next again. Time, yeah.
Recycle it. Brilliant. I really like that.
Mm. Now, and as for the third one, it's sort of good news because it was the lie, but all you need to do is turn it round to make it true. So what actually happened was that there was a doctor in America called Dr. Michael DeBakey. There's nothing funny about the name Michael DeBakey.
There is something a bit funny about it.
Because it says DeBakey.
This is, have you met my colleague, Michael DeBakey? This is my other colleague, Alistair the Butchery. Come on, being silly.
Well, in 1984, he gave a heart transplant to a NASA engineer. And I hesitate to even say the name of this chap now. David Saucier.
This is like a Carry On film, then.
He's going that way. Yeah, you'll be doing your Kenneth Williams next. So in 1984, David Saucier had a heart transplant performed by Michael DeBakey. And they started talking because Saucier realised what was needed was a tiny pump that... one of the biggest problems they had in creating these things was a sort of screw thread or something like that to actually pump the blood around. It would damage the blood cells, the red blood cells, and this could lead to clotting and all the rest of it. And he realized that the fuel pumps that were in, that they developed for the space shuttle, worked in such a way that they wouldn't damage the blood. And they were also small enough at just 1 or 2 inches in size that you could comfortably fit them in the chest of even children. And so these valves or these pumps were taken from the space program and refined and engineered for heart transplants.
So it's sort of true the other way around.
It's true the other way around, yeah.
Oh, I like that a lot. Do you know what else I like?
What?
3-1. 3-1 to Mark.
Yeah, this the next one. Yeah, I'm getting you on the next one.
Ooh, a threat. You heard it here first. If I'm not here for the next recording, you know why. I'm in a rocket somewhere. With some smutty pictures. That's the end of another Stuniverse.
It is. Done and dusted.
At the end of another Stuniverse. I usually do the bit at the very end by myself, and okay. I think it always sounds a bit odd because I'm not usually with you when I record it, so it always sounds odd, so I thought I'd do it now, and you can chip in. Thanks for listening. Thanks again for sharing the podcast with your friends and on Twitter and Facebook and wherever else. And please also, if you don't mind leaving us a quick review on iTunes, that'd be brilliant because that all helps to getting the word out about the podcast. Yeah, that's it. I suppose bye.
That's the only thing left to say now.
Apart from that, the Stooniverse is a bingo production podcast produced by me, Mark O'Sullivan, with himself over there.
Dr. Stu.
Dr. Stuart Clark. Our illustrations are by Dan at The Scribbler. Go to thescribbler.co.uk to see his wonderful work. And additional music in this podcast is by the lovely John Shearer.
Thank you to everyone who supports us.
We love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.